This is the BBC, with the Daily Minutes podcast. Oh no, it isn't. I mean, this is the Daily Minutes podcast. This is, however, not the BBC.
Daily Minutes Podcast, number 1664, with today's bulletin, 30 June 2019. This is a bulletin for Sunday. Daily Minutes Podcast is a podcast in either English or Dutch, or a mix of both, on several topics with a strong focus on technical topics like amateur radio and shortwave listening. That is, well, a problem with these kind of distractions in the background, because you can't edit. People will hear. But right now it's silent. Daily Minutes Podcast is a podcast in either English or Dutch, or a mix of both, on several topics with a strong focus on technical topics like amateur radio and shortwave listening. This podcast today will be in English. Binnenkort zijn er weer meer podcasts in het Nederland. In het Nederlands. Today in our podcast we will have the RGB news, and after that Onno's Foundation column. At the end of the spoken edition, right away, we have 8 PSK 1000 and 8 PSK 250 at 1500 Hz, which will be auto-switching with almost the complete text of today's podcast, and then episode 10. Well, that's not in the data segment. That's not included in the data, but it's existing of data. Then episode 10 of Slow Scan Radio. Vandaag in de podcast is nagenoeg alles in het Engels. We beginnen met het RGB nieuws in de versie van de RGB zelf. En dan Onno's Foundations column. In data gedeelte hebben we vrijwel de complete tekst van deze podcast in 8 PSK 1000 en 8 PSK 250 op 1500 Hz. En daarna aflevering 10 van Slow Scan Radio.
CQ, 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 calling all radio amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is GB2RS, the news broadcasting service of the Radio Society of Great Britain. It's read to you as usual by G4NJH in Nottingham. You can find the text of the bulletin on the RSGB's own website and the podcast at gb2rs.podbean.com. Good morning, this is GB2RS News. It's Sunday the 30th of June 2019. Here are the main news headlines. New ones for IOTA. Latest news on VHF spectrum. LightSail 2 CubeSat to transmit Morse. Every 5 years, the IOTA board reviews the island list to see if there is a scope for a small number of additions to the list, around 1,200 island groups. Some new ones were announced at the ham radio gathering in Friedrichshafen last weekend. Details are on iota-world.org, but in brief, the new ones are AS206 Honshu Coastal Islands East, AS207 Chukchi Sea Coast Centre, OC298 Tatakoto Atoll, OC299 Yap East Group, OC300 McKean and Nikumaroro Atolls, and SA101 Alejandro Selkirk Island. AS206 will probably be activated very soon. The others take a lot more planning. The latest stage of our ongoing efforts to protect and develop VHF spectrum saw considerations for the future of 50 Hz being concluded with the final meeting of CPT Project Team D as they prepare for WRC19, where the RSGB has been represented throughout. We're also well aware of the concern in the amateur radio community about the 144 megs aeronautical proposal currently at the CEPT stage, and RSGB volunteers continue to work as part of the broader IARU efforts to protect the interests of the global amateur radio community. The RSGB has updated the special focus page with the latest documents and CEPT meeting minutes. All amateurs are encouraged to go and read the details, which will be updated as necessary. The Planetary Society's LightSail 2 CubeSat, launched on the 25th of June, will transmit Morse code from space. LightSail is a citizen-funded project, and the satellite is due to be deployed on the 2nd of July. Once deployed, LightSail 2 will automatically transmit a beacon packet every few seconds, which can be decoded into 238 lines of text telemetry, describing the spacecraft's health and status, including everything from battery status to solar sail deployment motor state. Every 45 seconds, the spacecraft will transmit LS2 on the spacecraft's frequency of 437.025 MHz. Further details can be found at tinyurl.com/AE22JVD. We have added some more detail to the lectures for the 2019 RSGB convention on the RSGB website. You can read about the latest confirmed lectures for the HF, VHF, AMSAT and general interest streams, as well as information about Contest University, awards and contests. Booking is now open for both weekend packages and day tickets. The annual SAQ VLF transmission on Alexanderson Day on 17.2 kHz from the Alexanderson alternator takes place today, starting at 08:30 UTC for the message at about 0900 UTC, then 11:30 UTC for the transmission half an hour later at 1200 UTC. Both transmission events will be recorded live on YouTube. SK6 SAQ will also be operating on 7.035 kHz or 14.035 CW or 3.755 kHz SSB. For more information, go to the grimmiton.org site or alexander.n.se. Last weekend, RSGB President Dave Wilson, M0OBW, demonstrated the UK's online exam system at the Ham Radio Show held in Friedrichshafen. Online trials are taking place in several countries, and representatives were very interested to see how the UK system worked. Now for details of rallies and events in the coming week. Next Saturday, the 6th of July, the Stockport RS Rally will be held at Walthew House, 112 Shaw Heath, Stockport in Cheshire, SK2 6SQ. Doors open at 9:30, with disabled visitors gaining access at 9:15 a.m. Admittance is £2. There'll be trade stand, special interest groups, RSGB bookstall, catering available on site. Talking station will be on the air. Details from Nigel Roscoe, G0RXA, 07506 904 422. On Sunday the 7th of July, the Barford Norfolk Radio Rally will be held at Barford Village Hall and Green, Barford, Norwich, NR94AB, doors open 9 a.m, Talking S22. There'll be trade stands, a car boot sale, bring and buy, raffle, repeater groups, catering and free car parking. Entry £2 per person with under 16s free. Contact radio at dcpmicro.com. To get your event into Radcom, onto GB2RS and on the RSGB website, please send details as early as possible to radcom@rsgb.org.uk, and we need 4 months' notice to get anything into Radcom. Now, the DX News from 425 DX News and other sources. Bruce 3W3B will be in Laos until the 7th of July, where he will activate his XW4XR call sign. Look for him on the 40 to 6 metre bands on CWFT8 and RTTY. QSL manager E is E21EIC. Peter LA7QIA will be operating as JW7QIA from Spitsbergen. IOTA reference EU026 from the 29th of June to the 6th of July. Activity on 6 metres from grid square JQ68. QSL home call. Janusz SP9FIH returns to Bethlehem in Palestine from the 6th of July to the 3rd of August and will be transmitting on the 80 to 6 metre bands as E44WE. QSLs go via his home call. Anders SM0HPL is operating 5X7W from Kampala until the 6th of July whilst on work assignment. Activities in his spare time on the HF bands, he is in QRP and CW, JT65, FT8 and FT4, QSL home call. Paul SA6PIS will be on the air as Sugar Victor 9-stroke call sign portable from Chania in Crete from the 30th of June to the 7th of July. Activity holiday style 40, 20, 15, 10 metres SSB, QSL home call. Tony 3D2AG and John KK7L are on the air as T2AR and T2R respectively from Tuvalu until the 5th of July even. Activities on the 160 to 6 metre bands using CWSSB RITI JT65 FT8 QSL T2AR direct fire 3D2AG and T2R direct via N7SMI. Carol, OK2ZI's QRV is 9 Yankee 4 stroke call sign from Trinidad, SA011 until the 11th of July. Activity 40 to 10 metre bands using CWSSB in various digital modes, QSL to home call. Now for special event news, GB1CMS will be operating over the weekend of the 6th and 7th of July. The event is a display of military vehicles and battle reenactments located 7 miles south of Dorking in Capel, Surrey. A listening watch will be maintained on 51.60 MHz, and a full list of frequencies can be found via tinyurl/YX92B4UY. GB100BM will be on the air to celebrate 100 years of Bentley motor cars. The station will be operated by members of South Cheshire ARS on the 8 to 2 metre bands using SSB, CWFM and data from the 1st to the 28th of July. A special full-colour QSL will be available. QSL, OQRS, Bureau Logbook of the World and eQSL. More information and QSL policy available on qrz.com. Leicester Radio Society will be hosting a special called GB5EHL, Eagle Has Landed, between the 1st and 28th of July. It's 50 years since Apollo 11 lifted off from Cape Kennedy, carrying the command module, Columbia, and the lunar module, Eagle, with astronauts Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins heading for the moon on the 16th of July. On the 20th of July, the lunar module touched down on the moon's surface, which was announced by the now famous words, "The Eagle has landed." The special call sign GB100HAL has been issued to commemorate 100 years of RAF Halton in conjunction with the many events that are taking part celebrating the anniversary. The call may also be claimed towards the airfields on the Air Award and is recognised by RAFARs for all their awards. The call sign will be used most Saturdays up to the end of the year. The annual Original 13 Colonies special event will mark its 11th anniversary this year. The event gets underway on the 1st of July, 1300 UTC, runs to the 7th of July at 0400 UTC. Special event stations with 1-1 call signs will represent the original 13 US colonies, plus bonus stations K2Z WM3PEN in Philadelphia and GB13COL in Durham, England. Each special event station will have its own QRZ.com profile page. Please send special event details to radcom@rsgb.org.uk as soon as possible so we can give you free publicity. Remember, it's a licensing condition that stations using UK special events must be open to the public. Now for contest news today, the 30th, the UK Microwave Group's 4, 5.7 and 10 gigs contest runs from 0600 to 1800 UTC using all modes on the two bands, the exchange's signal report, serial number and locator. On Monday, the 80 metre club championships run from 1900 to 2030 UTC. It is the CW leg and the exchange's signal report and serial number. On Tuesday, 144 megs FM activity contest runs from 1800 to 1855 UTC using FM only, with the exchange of signal report, serial number and locator. It runs simultaneously with the 144 megs machine generated mode activity contest, whose exchange is signal report and 4-character locator. They are immediately followed by the all mode 144 megs UK activity contest from 1900 to 2130 UTC. The exchange for this contest is signal report, serial number and locator. Next weekend is RSGB VHF National Field Day from 1400 UTC on the 6th to 1400 UTC on the 7th. Using all modes on the 50 to 1.3 gigs bands, the exchange is signal report, serial number and locator. And next Sunday, the 7th, the 3rd 2-metre backpackers contest runs from 1100 to 1500 UTC. Using all modes, the exchange is signal report, serial number and locator. Next Sunday, the 7th, the I think we've just said that. Don't forget the UK 6-metre group marathon runs until the 4th of August. Using all modes on the 50 megs band, the exchange is just your 4-character locator. Now the radio propagation report compiled by G0KYA, G3YLA and G4BAO. Last week saw a continued quiet sun with zero sunspots at the end of the week and a settled geomagnetic field. A feature in Nature magazine has suggested that we may be heading for a maunder minimum in the next 3 decades. The report cites a study of long-term oscillations of the solar background magnetic field associated with double dynamo waves generated in the inner and outer layers of the sun, which indicate that the solar activity is heading for a grand minimum. Another report says that an international panel of experts coordinated by the NOAA and NASA have released its preliminary solar cycle 25 forecast, predicting that cycle 25 will peak no earlier than 2023 and no later than 2026, with a minimum peak sunspot number of 95 and a maximum of 130. This would make it similar to cycle 24, which was predicted to reach a maximum smooth sunspot number of 90 in May 2013. In fact, solar cycle's 24 maximum was reached in April 2014 and peaked at an average sunspot number of 82. Meanwhile, we continue to head towards sunspot minimum, which is predicted no earlier than July 2019 and no later than September 2020. The HF doldrums continue, although evenings and night time seem to be best for DX, with 20 metres remaining open until very late indeed. OD5TX in Lebanon was romping in at around 19:30 UTC on Wednesday. 40 metres is also very active, with Roger G3LDI reporting many stations from the US on the bands around 03:30 UTC. Next week, NOAA predicts the solar flux index will be in the range of 67 to 69, with settled geomagnetic conditions and a maximum KP index of 2 or 3. Now for VHF and up, this coming week, Troppo should be fairly productive at times, especially across nearby sea paths over the North Sea and English Channel. High pressure remains a primary feature of the weekend and part of next week, although the centre of the high being close by will mean that the inversion is quite close to the ground, so paths may suffer if this gets too low. Having said that, it looks like a good week to get those beams and some CWSSB going on the VHF bands. Moving on to sporadic E now, which relies indirectly upon the presence of jet stream flow, this can make gravity waves that propagate up to the E region and play a role in the formation of sporadic E propagation. The location of jet stream winds recently has been driven by an upper low west of Biscay, which has favoured paths to Spain and Portugal, but this is about to change as the pattern shifts to a jet stream across Scandinavia into Eastern Europe. This will favour paths to Scandinavia, the Baltic and the Ukraine. There's an outside chance of an upper ridge over Western Europe, which could introduce a chance of sporadic E into Italy or Spain, but this is not a clear signal this far ahead. The moon reaches peak declination on Tuesday and perigee on Friday, so EME conditions will be at their best all week, with low path losses and long moon windows. There are no major meteor showers this week, so continue to look for best DX opportunity via random meteors around dawn. And that's it from the propagation team until next week, and that's all from me likewise until next week.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. From time to time, our hobby changes. While the idea that we're all a bunch of old men playing with spark gap transmitters or using strange noises to the annoyance of others, the reality of amateur radio is markedly different from that stereotype. The changes we experience come from many different sources. As amateurs, we're always trying something new, inventing things and building stuff. That type of change is integral to the hobby, and in many ways, it's why our community exists in the first place. Other changes are external. A new product arrives into the marketplace, and we gleefully take possession of a new gadget. That in turn creates other changes which are incorporated into our day-to-day life as amateurs. A more structured change happens when the regulator makes a proposal, instigates a new rule, enforces an old rule, or does something else that affects us. In the time I've been an amateur, I've seen changes happen that originate from the regulator that both benefit and impede our activities. Things like the introduction of new bands, the trial of high power, but also the removal of frequencies, the restriction on modes, and across the globe, this happens in every single jurisdiction. For example, in Sweden, the regulator proposed and then implemented a reduction in transmitter power from 1 kilowatt down to 200 watt. I'm sure it made lots of noise in Sweden, but here in Australia there was hardly a squeak. In France, proposals have been drafted to reallocate the 2-meter band to the aeronautical mobile service, to be discussed as an agenda item at WRT 2023. The 2-meter band is a band that is widely used, often as the first band for most amateurs, a band that offers local communication, hosts local discussion nets, has many options of affordable equipment, uses small antennas commonly installed on vehicles. In Australia, the regulator is looking at removing access to the 3.6 GHz band for specific areas and defining more precise access restrictions, removing emission mode and bandwidth restrictions, and removing specific foundation restrictions, such as the ability to build radios, connect radios to the internet, and use digital modes. The Australian regulator is also of the opinion that any station should be able to use 400 watts regardless of the license level, since it's unlikely to increase interference. Interestingly, the local representative bodies are at odds with this, since they appear to believe that we need multiple levels of license, even though I've never actually heard a coherent argument to support that. There's more, but let's move on. What strikes me is that the benefits are celebrated and the impediments are bemoaned, with hardly any thought expressed on how these changes happened and what brought them about. There are representations made by representative bodies, but most of that is at arm's length. We are a tiny community in the scheme of things. We always have been, but we have access to one of the richest resources available, and we have a regulator who is required to consider our existence when new rules are made and old rules retired. In discussion with other amateurs, I hear time and time again that making a submission is hard. It's a waste of time and takes too long. For me, that makes no sense. The notion that our tiny community has no impact is not credible in the face of the evidence. So why is that the idea of making submissions to the regulator is such a waste of time and so difficult? Why is it that we give up before we even start? What is it in our DNA that leaves these submissions to others? And what is it that makes us think we're unworthy or unable or unheard of if we never even try? A submission doesn't have to be a book. It doesn't need to have more than one page. You can write a letter to your regulator that says, "Hey, I'm an amateur. I'm affected by your proposal, and I think the following." My point is this. If amateur radio is important to you, if it gives you joy, if it teaches you stuff, if it gives you a community, if it justifies buying gadgets, then why don't you express that to the regulator when they announce a request for consultation? What are you waiting for? Share your opinion. Make your voice count. You can be part of the change. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
I'm Peter John in English Media. Title music is by Croatian artist Blasko and is published under Creative Commons. You can find this podcast on dmpodcast.net, DM is for Daily Minutes, and on several other platforms. De internetfaciliteiten en studio hardware voor Daily Minutes worden gesponsord door 70MHzShop.nl. 70MHzShop.nl.
Daily Minutes Podcast. Whoever hears this is crazy.
En microfoon naar retour.
This is Slow Scan Radio. Good evening, this is Peter John. We bring you experiments with slow scan TV images, mostly photos, and also several kinds of data transmission using FLDigi. We have a show sending some data and mostly SSTV images. The images can be received with your normal radio. The easiest way is to use a smartphone, holding it simply close to the receiver speaker. You will need an app like Robot36 for Android or CQ SSTV for iOS then. There are also good programs for PC. More info about that you can find on our website www.slowscanradio.com. www.slowscanradio.com. For the data, preferably use FLDigi, although other programs most probably will work as well. Slow Scan Radio is copyright 2018, excluding rights of featured items and any music. Website is www.slowscanradio.com. Mail address is xray@xraydeltavictor.mikeecho.com.